Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're dealing with the question of church membership. And the issue of church membership is so clearly seen in this chapter that has to do with church discipline, because it has to do with someone who was received into membership now being put out of membership. And obviously, for that to occur, there has to be membership. Whatever you're going to call it, there has to be a recognition of who belongs to this church and who doesn't. And those who belong to the church will have to be put outside the church if they live a life of immorality and are unwilling to repent. It's as simple as that. But you can't do that unless you have membership. You can't remove somebody from the membership of a church unless they have been received into the membership of the church. That's so obvious. That's so simple. And yet, that seems to have eluded a lot of people. But it's very clear in this chapter, and so we'll finish it up today. Wherever we get in our study today, we're going to finish. I'm not going to continue talking about this any longer, but we'll wrap it up today, which is Friday, August 20. Thankful that you can be with us, and thankful for those who are supporting us financially in this ministry. Well, here's what we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In regard to exclusion, what I've called exclusion and reassignment. This man, who was a member of the church, was living in open immorality with his father's wife. Paul says, you should have already dealt with it, you haven't, so I'm now writing to tell you what to do. And what he says in verse 2 is, take this person away from among you. You've got to get him out. He's living in immorality, but he's still a member of the church. He's still inside the church. Those two things don't go together. So he's going to either have to stop living in immorality in order to remain inside the church, or he's going to have to be put outside the church if he continues living in immorality. And since he's been confronted and is unrepentant, is unwilling to put away his adulterous relationship, then the only thing for you to do is to remove him from church membership. Take away from among you this person, verse 2, and deliver him unto Satan, verse 5, and in the process you reassign his identity. Because someone who was named a brother, verse 11, has forfeited the right to that name. He is actually an evil person. And therefore, you've got to put outside this one who is currently inside. He's forfeited his right to be inside the church. That's what you see in these closing verses. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do, says Paul, with judging those who are outside? Well, who are those who are outside? The ones who are not members of the church. Do you not judge those who are inside? Who are those who are inside? Those who are members of the church. See, we're talking about church membership. But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. You've got to put this one who is currently inside, you've got to put him outside, because he's forfeited his right to be inside. Or to put it another way, you've got to remove this one from church membership because he's forfeited his right to church membership. And the church, therefore, officially And I say officially, this is in the official estimation of the church. The church officially reassigns the identity of a wayward member to correspond with his present lifestyle. If he's determined to live like an unconverted person, then he needs to be put outside the church. If he's willing to repent, we're glad to accept his request for forgiveness. We'll forgive him. We'll be happy to forgive him and leave him inside the church. But if he won't, then he's got to be put outside. Now, Paul makes it clear here that it's not the business of the church to judge those who are outside. We leave that to God. That's his responsibility, not ours. But churches have a responsibility to judge those who are inside. They have this responsibility. They must do it to be obedient to God. And therefore, churches in this manner are dealing with external identification. What this person is identified as. We're not claiming to see the heart. Only God can do that. That's God's business, God's responsibility. But God has given us responsibility of dealing with the external evidence. And the churches, therefore, must deal with external identification. Those who are inside need to live a lifestyle that indicates you are a Christian. And if you aren't willing to do that, then you must be put outside. Churches aren't either able or instructed to deal with the inward condition. Whether the person is saved or lost, that's not the issue here, although what is the issue is our official opinion about that, recognizing that our opinion could be wrong, only God can see the heart, but we have an opinion, it's an official opinion, and it is a God-required opinion. That's the part that people don't seem to understand. We've got to clarify this person according to his own activities, whether he qualifies to be inside or whether he must be put outside, whether he qualifies to be a member of the church or whether he must be put outside the church. The identity of church members must be clear. If he is living in open immorality, he must be removed from your midst, verse 2. He must be identified with the immoral people of this world, verse 10. That's an important part. I didn't read that earlier. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Oh, really? The world's full of them. Verse 10. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world. No. That's not what I'm talking about. Or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous and so forth. That's the one I'm talking about. The church doesn't deal with people who are outside the church, but the church must deal with people who are inside the church. Immoral people, an immoral person who is a professing believer, is a contradiction of terms. He professes to be a believer, he's a member of the church, but he's living immorally. It's the church's responsibility to remove that identification from him, to remove that label from him, to remove that respectability from him. He is not considered to be a Christian as far as outward official relationships are concerned. He must be removed from among yourselves. Now, it's obvious that only those who are recognized as inside are capable of being put outside. And here's where the whole issue of church membership comes in. Who is the church responsible for? Its members, those who are inside. It's not responsible for those who are outside. Those not accountable to a church, listen to me now, those who are not accountable to a church are considered outside. The church must act in regard to those who are inside and in regard to what is known and knowable. In other words, one who is not accountable to a local church ought to be regarded as without a profession of faith. They're one and the same. A credible profession of faith is what qualifies one to be a member of the church and accountable to a church. And if that person will not live up to their profession of faith, then they need to be removed from the inside and put to the outside. This caused a pastor friend of mine who is now with the Lord to change his opinion about church membership. He was a godly man, a great Bible teacher, and pastored a church in a group of churches. I would be tempted to call them a denomination, but they don't like that term. But they certainly relate to one another in a way that resembles a denomination. But nevertheless, this group of churches that does not practice formal church membership because they can't find it in the Bible. And they're not going to be like these other churches with their man-made traditions, including church membership. We don't do that. We only do that which we find in the Bible. Well, this particular pastor had a situation similar to the one in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He had a person who was considered to be in fellowship with his church. He was considered to be a Christian and considered to be a part of his church, even though they didn't have formal church membership, who was living in adultery and having been questioned and admonished and confronted, he wasn't willing to change. But he continued attending church and continued calling himself a Christian and expecting everybody else to call him one. Now, what's the church going to do to deal with him? They don't have membership. It's just basically whoever shows up and comes regularly, we consider them part of this church. Well, how do you put him out if he wants to continue to come? It was a real dilemma. This pastor realized, I've got a problem here. Without the mechanism of church membership, a clear understanding, both by each individual person as well as by the church as a whole, as to who belongs to the church, to whom is the church responsible, and which people are accountable to the church. And he realized that requires church membership, and he tried to persuade his church to adopt an official membership role so that he could deal with this. But the church was not willing to do it because they had come from this long tradition of not doing that, and they weren't willing to change. But this is what the pastor related to me. He admitted to me that he saw he had a problem, and it could only be remedied by employing an official understanding of church membership, who was inside and who was not. That's the end. We'll move on to something else on Monday. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.